Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Chof Beis, and we are about 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis, the Mishnah HaSoymech Sukkosoy Bekarei Amita. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Tzara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Avram Ben Moshe Chaim, David Ben Esther Bas Chaya, Mordechai Tzvi ben Sara Rachel. Today's daf's being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas Yisrael David ben Yechiel Mechel and Le'ilui Nishmas Avram ben Remoshe Chaim. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos regarding sukkos. As the Mishnah, Hasoymech Sukkosay Bekari Amito. If somebody builds a sukkah and he used a bed as the walls of his sukkah. So he used the sides of a real bed. He removes the mattress. He has the sides of a bed. Obviously, we're discussing where the sides of the bed are 10 tefachim, so it meets the minimum shear of a sukkah. And he used that as the walls of a sukkah. But here's the point. He didn't just use them as the walls of a sukkah, but he actually placed the schach directly on top of those walls. Says the Mishnah, the halacha is kasher. Even so, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im eni yecholu lamei d'fnei atzma pesula." If it's the schach, it is leaning directly on the walls of the bed, then the halach is, it's going to be possible. So we have a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakam and the Mishnah, whether the sides of a bed can be used to support the schach of a sukkah, whether they can be used as the walls or they can't be used as the walls. The Chachamim say, yeah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Now, what would be Pashup Shat in the Chachamim? Why they say it's okay? If the bed is made of wood, for example, it's a davish ena makabel tuma, it's a davish gedulei min haaretz, then you would think it would be okay. Afal pi kein, Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible. So really, the Shita in the Mishnah that we have to understand is Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that if you decided to use the sides of a bed as the walls of a sukkah, it's not going to be okay? So the Gemara says, it wasn't clear to the Amoraim. In fact, Pligi bar Rab Zeira v'Rab Abba bar Mamma. It was a machloikus between Rab Zeira and Rab Abba bar Mamma. Chadama once said, Nesha ein lo keva. The reason Rabbi Yehuda said that this sukkah is going to be possible is because if the crux of the sukkah, the wall of the sukkah, is a bed is movable, a bed is portable. A sukkah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, has to be kavua. This sukkah is not kavua. Now, who said that a sukkah has to be kavua? Many, many, many tanoim. The Gemara in the first parak had a whole list of tanoim that hold sukkah diras kva be'inon. One of those tanoim was Rabbi Yehuda. The first Rabbi Yehuda in the Masechta, Sukkah Shigavoy Lamaila Miyasir Mama Psula, for Rabbi Yehuda Machsha. So Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasi that holds Sukkah Diras Kva Be'inon, he holds you can't have a Sukkah that's easily portable. As a result, says the Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, that Asoymech Sukkase Bekare Amita, that Loch is going to be possible. Chadam and the other Amir said, the reason Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be possible is Mitneshem Amida Bedover HaMekabel Toma. Because if the Schach is being supported by the sides of a bed, being that a bed itself is a Dover HaMekabel Toma, it's a keli, it's clearly something that's mekabel tuma. So therefore, if the schach is being supported by a dover hamekabel tuma, that loch is the sukkah is going to be possible. Now this also is a chiddush, and Rashi speaks out, since when is there a problem if the walls of a sukkah is a dover hamekabel tuma? Mechitzay shel barzel is okay. All the halachas that we find regarding a sukkah is nogei a schach. Schach has to be a dover shegidulim in aretz. Schach has to be a dover she'en hamekabel tuma. Where do you find anywhere such halachas with regards to walls? So Rashi says you don't find such halachas regarding walls. The problem over here is something else. The problem is not that the walls are made of a dover hamekabel tuma. The problem here is that the schach is being supported by a dover hamekabel tuma. And here's the punchline of the sugya. Just like schach can't be a dover amekabel toma, just like schach has to be a dover that's gedulei min haaretz, the thing that supports the schach also has to be a dover she'en amekabel toma. The thing that supports the schach also has to be a dover she'en gedulei min haaretz. Not the walls, but the things that support the schach. Now, usually the walls support the schach, but lav dafka, it doesn't have to be that way. You can have a wall that's 10 tefachim. On top of that, you can have a wooden stick, and the schach would be on top of the wooden stick. The reason Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says that asoymich sukkos bekarei amita psula is because although the
Kare Hamita in and of itself meets the criteria of walls, but being that in this case it's also supporting the schach, just like Kare Hamita would not be kosher for schach, because it's a Dover HaMekabel Tumah, so too it's not okay to support the schach. So we have two pshatim in the Amiram. We don't know who said what. We just know which Amiram opined. It was Rab Zera and Rab Abba Bar Mama. One said this, one said that. What were the two pshatim? In Rab Yehuda, who holds Asayim Chesukas Bikari Amita Psula, one said Mebnesha Ein Lo Keva. It's Rab Yehuda L'shitasoy that holds Sukkah Diras Kva B'inon. Therefore, you can use a bed as a sukkah. The other man, the Amma, said it's Mebnesha Ma'amida B'Dover HaMekabel Tumah, which is also a chiddush, that even the walls themselves can be a Dover HaMekabel Tumah, Schach can't, and if Schach can't, the Dover that is supporting the Schach also cannot. Says the Gemara, by B'Nayu, is there enough Gemara between the two Pshat? And the Gemara says, certainly, what would be if somebody took metal poles, stuck them into the ground, he made himself walls, and he leaned and supported the Schach on top of these metal poles? According to the Mandama that says, that why is the schach in our Mishnah puzzle? Why is asoymich sukkas bekaramita a problem? Because it's not kavua, because it's portable harayish lo keva. These metal poles aren't going anywhere. They're kavua, and as a result, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be kashu. But according to Mandam, it says that the reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, asoymich sukkas bekaramita is a problem is because you have a dover and mekabel tumah that's supporting the schach. Haray ma'amida b'dover and mekabel tumah. In this case, the metal is also mekabel tumah. Pshutei kliets is not mekabel tumah, but metal was always mekabel tumah. So being that the metal is mekabel tumah, so therefore it'd be a problem. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, Loi shanu, this that the Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, in Eina Yechol, that Hasnoi Mechzukase Bekari Amito, the halacha is Psula, Loi shanu Elosamach. That's only true if he put the schach directly on top of the sukkah. Avol Sikech Al Gav Hamito Chero. Rashi explains, Sikech Al Gav Hamito means he used the sides of the bed as the walls of the sukkah, but he didn't put the schach directly on the sides of the bed. But he had a pole made of wood. He had some wooden stick, and he put the schach on top of that. Over there, it's going to be kosher. Now, I explain. My time. According to Mandam, said the reason Rabbi Yehuda has a problem with Hasaymich Sukkas Bekaramita because the bed is portable. Hariyesh lo keva. In this case, it's not on top of the bed. It's on top of these wooden sticks. These wooden sticks have keva. And according to the Mandam, that says that the issue is that the bed is davar mekabel tumah. It's on top of wooden sticks. Wooden sticks are not a davar mekabel tumah. Bottom line is, the very first part of the daf is a Mishnah, a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Hasoymech sukasoy bekare hamita. What's the halacha? If somebody used the sides of a bed, he took a real bed, removed the mattress, removed the pillows and the blankets, and he used that at a sukkah, assuming it meets the dimensions of a sukkah, assuming it's wood, and on top of the bed, he puts schach. Chamim says, k'sher, why should it be a problem? Rabbi Yehuda said, it's possible. Damiram struggled a little bit to understand Pashup Shana Rabbi Yehuda, and what emerges from the Gemara is two distinct approaches to understand Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. One approach is, this is Rabbi Yehuda L'shitasai, who holds sukkah diras kva b'inan, therefore, you can't put it on a bed. A bed is not kavua. A bed is portable, it moves, it's aroi. And as a result, according to Rabbi Yehuda, l'shitasoi, it's not going to be okay. The second pshat that the Gemara mentioned was because Rabbi Yehuda holds that just like schach has certain criteria of what makes kosher schach and not kosher schach, zeh haklal, dovah shegedul me'aretz, dovah she'en mekabel tumah, so too the thing that supports the schach has the same exact halacha. The walls, no. But the thing that supports the schach, yeah. And what's unique here is not that he's using the kari amito as walls. That's not an issue. The issue is that he's putting the schach directly on top of the kari amito, so it's supporting the schach. In fact, Abaye said, what would be if you use the bed as the walls? However, you didn't put the schach directly on it. You didn't put it on top of the bed. You put it, however, al gav hamita. You had something, some wooden stick on top of the bed, and that's where the schach was. Ksheira, Rabbi Yehuda's going to hold. It's okay. There's no problem of keva. And in this case, it's not supporting the schach. And as a result, it's not going to be an issue. Zok the Mishnah Vaita. Sukkah
hamiduvlelas. So if you have a sukkah that's miduvlelas, we'll see what that means in the Gemara. V'shatzilasa meruba mechamasa. Or if you have a sukkah that's tzilasa meruba mechamasa, meaning there's schach, and the schach is really protective, meaning there's more shade when you're sitting in the sukkah than there is sun. K'sheira d'alach is both of those sukkahs are going to be kosher. Hamu'uva kimin bayis. If you have schach that's very, very thick, it's as thick as the roof of a house. Afal pisha enak echav nir mitoicha. Even if it's so thick that you can't see stars through it, k'sheira d'alach is, it's going to be kosher. Zok t'gemar. My miduvlel. So the first halach of the Mishnah was, a sukkah hamiduvleles is kosher. So the Amiram didn't even know what the word means. Amar Rav, Rav said, the word miduvleles is sukkah aniyah. What it means is a poor sukkah. So you have lechem oini, matzah. So now you have your sukkah aniyah, which according to Rav, is the sukkah hamiduvleles. Rav understood that the word miduvleles is from the sheirish of dal. A dal is an oni. So this is a sukkah aniyah. What does that even mean? It means there's very little schach. Now Rashi says, even though there's very little schach, obviously it has to be kosher schach. So you have to say that you don't have avrav gimel tfachim, meaning even the little bit of schach that you have, there are no gaps that are three tfachim or more, because that would knock out the sukkah, as we saw in the Mishnah on Daf Yizayin and Aleph. It has to be tzlosa merubim mechamasa, like the Mishnah we just learned, the first Mishnah in the back. So you obviously need to be able to check off all the boxes, but at the end of the day, after everything, it's still a sukkah aniyah. And that's what sukkah miduvlelas is, and the Mishnah felt that it needed to say that a sukkah miduvlelas is kosher. Shmuel, Amar Shmuel said, it means something completely different. Kana oila v'kana yayard. According to Shmuel, the sukkah miduvlelas has all the schach that it needs to have. However, the schach isn't lying on one level, but rather it's stacked. There's two levels. So picture two layers of schach. You have layer A, and then you have layer B. And there are gaps in layer A, and there are gaps in level B. So, for example, you have a board of schach, and then you have an empty space. You have a board of schach and an empty space. A board of schach and empty space, and that's how the entire sukkah is lined. And then there's a second floor, a second layer of schach, which is also schach and an empty space, schach and an empty space. However, the schach on the second layer corresponds to the empty space on the first layer. So really, if you would take the top layer and you would bring it all the way down, you would have a beautiful mahadrin, mina mahadrin, perfect set of schach. The problem is you didn't do that. The problem is you have it stacked in two different layers so that each layer of schach is missing a lot of schach. Every other one of the nesarim is missing. But at the end of the day, says Shmuel, if you have kana oil of a kana yoyre, that's a sukkah hamiduvleles, and the halach is that the sukkah hamiduvleles is going to be kosher. Now, according to Shmuel, what does miduvleles mean? It's miloshin bilbul. It's miloshin, it's mixed up. Meaning you have two layers of zrach. Between the two layers of zrach, you have a full layer of zrach. So Rav holds sukkah miduvleles, miloshin dal. It's a sukkah aniyah. It's a regular kosher set of zrach. It's on one layer. Just this very, very little schach. But at the end of the day, you have everything that you need. So the halacha is that it's kosher. Whereas, according to Shmuel, it's a completely different idea. It's kana oila, it's kana yoyred. But again, according to Shmuel, it's going to be kosher as well. Says the Gemara that in addition to teaching the word miduvleles, there's going to be another nafkemina, Pasha Pshat, how to read the Mishnah. Rav tani chada, v'shmuel tani tarti. The way Rav learned the Mishnah, sukkah miduvleles, v'shatzilasa meruba mechamasa k'sheira, is one halacha. The way Shmuel learned the Mishnah, sukkah miduvleles, v'shatzilasa meruba mechamasa k'sheira, is two different halachas. And the Gemara explains, Rav Tani Chada, sukkah miduvleles, says in the Mishnah, sukkah miduvleles, my miduvleles, what does it mean? Miduldeles, it's miloshin dal. It means it's sukkah aniyah. Shatzilasa meruba mechamasa k'sheira. When it's tzilasa meruba mechamasa, it's going to be kosher. In other words, the first two lines of the Mishnah is sukkah miduvleles, v'shetzilosam ruba mechamasa k'sheira. The way Rav's learning the Mishnah, these two things are really one. And essentially what the Mishnah is saying is that if you have a sukkah aniyah, as long as it's tzilosam ruba mechamasa, the halacha is, it's going to be kosher. Meaning, v'shetzilosam ruba mechamasa is not a second halacha. It's part of the same halacha. Sukkah miduvleles. Translation, sukkah aniyah, if it's tzilasa meruba mechamasa, it's going to be kosher. However, v'shmul tani tarti. But the way Shmuel learned the Mishnah, says the Gemara, was actually that sukkah miduvleles is one halacha, Vishatzilosa meruba mechamosa is in second halacha. How so? My miduvleles, like we said, mivulveles. It's milosh and bilbo. The Tartik Tani and the Mishnah saying two things. Sukkah mivulveles kshera, a sukkah that's mivulveles kosher, A, and B. Vitzilosa meruba mechamosa kshera, if it's losa meruba mechamosa, it's going to be kosher as well. The Gemara just said a very big chiddush. We almost didn't notice. What the Gemara said is that according to Shmuel, sukkah hamiduvleles is kosher even if it's not tzilosa meruba mechamasa. Meaning, sukkah meduvleles is kosher. Additionally, when it's tzilosa meruba mechamasa, it's also kosher. But sukkah meduvleles is kosher even if it's not tzilosa meruba mechamasa. Meaning, you have some gaps here. You have a layer of schach, which is missing a lot of schach. Then you have another layer of schach, which is also missing a lot of schach. If you would merge them together, you'd have a full set of schach. Shkayach, if you would merge them together. But right now, you didn't merge them together. Meaning, right now, you don't have kosher schach. Right now, it's chamasa meruba mitzilosa. And that the first Mishnah of the Masechta said is a problem. One of the sukkahs that are possible is chamasa meruba mitzilosa. So really you would think it's a problem. Zok the Mishnah, no, it's not a problem. Sukkah hamiduvleles, meaning sukkah hamivulveles will be kosher, even if it's not tzilosa meruba mechamasa. In fact, when the Mishnah says v'shet tzilosa meruba mechamasa k'sheri, that's a separate idea. Number one, asukah meduvlelas is kosher even if it's not tzilosa meruba mechamasa. If it's one layer of schach and it's tzilosa meruba mechamasa, there it's going to be kosher as well. Now, what's pashup shot? Why would that be the case? So the Gemara is going to bring a machlokes of Ayverov, how to understand Shita Shmuel. But super high level, what we're saying is that even though the schach is on two layers, we look at them as if they're one layer. And somehow there's a royin taking place over here of Masechtas Erevin fame, where you're allowed to use your imagination and you're allowed to somehow look at these two layers of schach as if they're really one. And if there will be one layer of schach, it would be tzilasa meruba mechamasa. So that even though now it's really not tzilasa meruba mechamasa, still that lach is it's going to be okay. But before we go weiter, let's just recap for a second what we have. The Mishnah said sukkah hamiduvleles is ksher. And there was a machlokes Rav and Shmuel had to understand pashup shat in a sukkah hamiduvleles. Rav said a sukkah hamiduvleles is a sukkah aniya. It's a sukkah that checks off all the boxes. But at the end of the day, this is lechem ayini. It's a sukkah aniya. The schach situation is very weak. It's very poor. It's very schwach. Solka daita chamina, you would have thought it's possible. You have to know what that havamina is. Kamash malon the Mishnah, the halach is it's going to be kosher. But at the end of the day, this is regular kosher schach. Shmuel said no. Sukkah hamiduvlelis is not regular kosher schach. Sukkah hamiduvlelis, you're sitting in a sukkah that's chamasa meruba mitzilasa. However, you have two layers of schach. And if you were able to merge the two layers, then you would have a kosher set of schach. You would have thought it's possible. That's obvious. Kamash Malon is kosher. You have to know what the Kamash Malon is. But according to Rav, you have kosher schach. According to Shmuel, you don't have kosher schach, but we're somehow able to get creative, use our imagination, act as if we have a perfect set of schach, and based on that, Shmuel Shita is that it's going to be kosher. So again, the question is, how do you have a right to use your imagination? Zok to Gemara. Amar Abaye said, this that Shmuel said, sukkah, hamiduvleles is kosher. And what does that mean? Kana oila, the kana yoyred, even though it's not tzilosa meruba mechamasa, lashonu, that's only true, alashem min zel lezesh loisha tfachim. So Abaye said, that's true if there's less than three tfachim of space between the two layers of schach. Aval yesh min zel lezesh gimel tfachim psula. But if you have three tfachim, then it's going to be possible. What's Pashim Shana and Abaye? Abaye was bothered with this kasha. How do you merge the two layers of schach? The teretz is lavud. If they're within three tfachim of each other, so then we have the alach lamayish misinai of lavud, so then you're able to close the gap. If you're able to close the gap, so based on that, it's going to be kosher. But if you have more than three tfachim, avol yesh bein zeh lezeh gimel tfachim, psula, then of course it's going to be possible. How do you merge these two layers of schach? Love it is going to lie. Rava said, no, afil yesh bein zeh lezeh shalesh tfachim, nah. Even if there are three tfachim, it's still possible that this is going to be okay. Meaning, the only time where there's three tfachim, it won't be okay, is elish im begagay tefach. If the upper layer of schach is not a tefach wide. Aval yesh begabli tefach. But if the upper layer of schach is a tefach wide, ksher will be kosher, even if you don't have lavud, even if it's more than three tefachim away, the amrina, because we say, chavoit rami. So what exactly is chavoit rami? Chavoit rami is one of the halachos l'moshe misinai of mechitzin. Shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin, halacha l'moshe misinai. And we've had the opportunity in the first 20 or so blad in Masechta Sukkah to discuss and learn about many of the halachos l'moshe misinai.
good asik, good aches, toifen akuma, the fact that a mechitza has to be ten tfachim, pi tikri yoyred v'soysim. So we've already gone through many of these halachas. One of the halachas that we didn't see yet is chavoyt rami. Chavoyt rami is very similar to good aches. Essentially, what chavoyt rami says is that if you have something in the context of a mechitza, it's lying flat, the halacha is you're allowed to take that mechitza and bring it as far down as you have to. So similar to gudachas. Gudachas allows you to take a mechitza and bring it all the way down. Chavoyt rami allows you to do the same thing. So what's the difference between gudachas and chavoyt rami? It's a very technical difference. Gudachas is when the mechitza is standing in the regular way, where the long part of the mechitza is going from floor to ceiling. So you have the chud, the narrower part of the mechitza is the part that's hanging down. So good achas mechitzas allows you to take that chud and bring it all the way down to the ground. Chavoy rami is when the mechitza is lying flat. It's lying on its width. So then the halach is, you say chavoy rami. So Rava said, that I don't think you have to come onto lava to make the sukkah hamiduvlelas work according to Shmuel. Even without lava, you can make it work. You can invoke the really used principle of chavoyt rami, and based on that, you'll be able to make this work. But Rava said, there's one criteria, there's one caveat you have if you want to use chavoyt rami, and that is afilu yesh ben zelas ashloish tefachim nami leyamoren elishim begagli tefach avol yesh begagli tefach shera damrin chavoyt rami. In order to use chavoyt rami, you need that the schach should be one tefach wide. If it's a tefach wide, then you can use chavoyt rami. If it's not a tefach wide, then you will not be able to use the halacha of chavoyt rami. As if to say, chavoyt rami is a chiddush, but in order to use it, you need to have a tefach. Zok de gemara, amar Rava. Rava said, mino amin Allah. How do I know? D'chiyis be tefach amin chavoyt rami. V'chiles be tefach loy amin chavoyt rami. How do I know that the only time you can use the halacha of chavoyt rami is if this thing that you want to bring down, you want to pull your good aches with, is at least a tefach wide? Who said you need a tefach? So he said, I know it from a Mishnah. The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah in the 12th perek of Mesechtes Aholos. Koyres Habayis Veho Aliyah. So the Mishnah and the case here in Mesechtes Aholos was very similar to our Sukkah Miduvlelas, where you had a house, and there's a ceiling, obviously. And then on top of that, there was another floor with another ceiling. And the ceilings were, in some cases, stacked. Says the Mishnah, Kairos Habayis, if you have the ceiling of a house, Valiyah, and then you have the attic, which is the ceiling on the second floor, Sh'inaleh Maziva, and there was no Maziva. Rashi says the fact that there was no Maziva is Lav Dafka. So that's going to have no bearing on what we're about to learn. Ve'im Bechuvano is in the event that these two floors are exactly corresponding to each other. So the Kairos Habayis, the beams of the top floor, and the Kairos of the Aliyah, on the floor on top of that, are exactly Mechuvan to each other. So the Loch would be as follows. If there's tumma underneath any one of these kairos, so the halach is tachteha tame. Anything that's underneath it, together with the tumma, is going to be tame. The point of the Mishnah is this is a Mishnah Masechtas Aholos, so it's discussing tumas oil. Tumas oil is when you have kezias of a mace underneath an oil, together with something else. That something else becomes tame. So what we're saying is anything that's underneath the kairo of the bias or the kairo of the ali, it doesn't matter which one. If there's some tumma underneath it and something else with it, the halach is it's going to be tummy. Tumma tachas achas mehen tachteha tummy. Beina tachtoina lel yoina. What if there was tumma on the beam that's on top of the first floor, meaning the tumma was between the two floors? So then the halach is beinayim tummy. If there's anything else underneath that beam, it's also going to be tummy. Al gabi el yoina. What if the tumma was on top of the ali, on top of the beam that's on the attic, connect down the rakia tame. If there's anything that hovers on top of it all the way up to the shemayim, halach is that is going to be tame as well. The point is, each one of these beams has the ability to convey tumma through tumas oil. So if you have tumma and anything underneath any of the beams, whatever's with it together with the tumma is going to be tame. Now this is true if the koyrois were mechuvanois, they were literally one next to each other. What we need is the next case. Hoyo el yoinois kibena tachtoinois. In the event that the Elyonos was Kevena Tachtoinos, he had two floors, and each floor had beams, but they were also missing beams. But the way they were stacked was that the top floor, the ceiling of the Aliyah's beams, corresponded to the gaps, to the space that's in the first floor's beams. So then the halach is Tumma Tachteyen Tachas Kulon Tameh. If there's Tumma anywhere on the floor, and there's someone else anywhere on the floor, doesn't matter where he is, he's automatically going to be Tameh. Because what happens is now we have one big set of ceiling. And as a result, it doesn't matter if you're underneath this Kaira or not underneath this Kaira. Anywhere in that area is viewed as one big domain. We have one big oil over here, and it's going to be Tomei Agabe. If anyone's on top of it or anything's on top of it, can I get out of the Rekia Tomei? Up until the Rekia is going to be Tomei. This is the Mishnah in Mesechtes Aholos. And there was a Brice that explained this Mishnah. I said, but Medvar Ramur, when is this true? Meaning, let's focus on the second Halacha. That's the one we need for our discussion. Even though the Medvar Ramur is explaining the entire Mishnah, but we need to say of the Mishnah. When is it true that if you had two layers of ceiling that are stacked, the halach is if there's tumah anywhere underneath any one of these layers, and there's someone else or something else anywhere underneath, the halach is there's going to be tumah. That's only true bizman sheyesh bahen tefach upeinayim paiseach tefach. That's only if the beams of the aliyah of the attic were at least a tefach wide, and the spaces, the gaps in the first floor were also a tefach wide. So then the halach is we view it as one big ceiling. But if you don't have a gap that's a tefach, then you're not going to have this halach. Then the halach will be if there's tuma underneath one of the beams, so anything that's with it underneath that beam will be tummy, but the rest of the area will not be tummy. Meaning the only time we say that you have one big oil that you can somehow combine everything over here, the only time that's going to be true is if you have, the only time that's going to be true is if there is a tefach. But if you have less than a tefach, so then the halacha is, that's not going to be true. What do you see from here? Alma, you see from here, ki is be tefach, when there's a tefach, amir chavoy rami, then you can say the halacha of chavoy rami. But v'chi less be tefach, but if you don't have a tefach, lo yamir chavoy rami, then you don't say chavoy rami. Shma mina, you see from here that this is the halacha. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that what's pshat in this halacha? What would be the reason, what would be the pshat that you can merge the two ceilings? Obviously, it's based on the halacha of chavoy rami. And if we're saying a halacha that the only time you're able to merge the two ceilings is if it's a tefach wide, what do you see from here? You see clearly that the only time you say Chavoy Rami is if it's a tefach. So Rava said, you want to know how I know the only time you say Chavoy Rami is if it's a tefach. I know from the Mishnah and the Braisa Masechtas Halos. And even though that's a Halos and we're learning Masechtas Sukkah, first of all, we've seen a lot of similarity between a Halos and Sukkah, right, obviously. But not just that, it's the principle. Chavoy Rami only works if you have a tefach. You see, it doesn't work if you don't have a tefach. Sukkah Gemara. Yosef Rav Kahana v'kamad l'hashmaita. Rav Kahana was sitting, he said over this halach. Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. So Rashi told Rav Kahana, is that true? Is that true that if you don't have a tefach, you don't see the halacha of Chavoy Rami? Vatanya, we learned in a braisa, and this is a braisa that's mentioned in Masechtas Erev and Daf Yudal and Amud Aleph, and it'll be more familiar from Le'il Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So we're discussing a mavui she'eino mefulish, a mavui that's surrounded on three sides. Midai Raisa has a din of a Rishos HaYachid, but on the fourth side, it's exposed to a Rishos HaRab. Therefore, Midai Rabbanon, you're not allowed to carry there. What do you need to do in order to carry them in the Rabbanon? You have to make something in some sort of hekker or mechitza. Oh, Tzuris HaPesach, Alechi, a Kaira. We're discussing where you put a Kaira. A Kaira is a beam that goes across the entranceway of the Mavoi. Now, there's halachos of how wide this beam has to be, how thick this beam has to be. The beam has to be at least one tefach wide. Additionally, it has to go from sea to shining sea. It has to go from one side of the entrance to the other side of the entrance. Says the Brice, so Kaira, it's because of Inagas, because it's there. If you have a Kaira that emerges from one side, but it doesn't make it all the way to the other side, or if you had two Kairas that are coming from the two sides of the entranceway, but they weren't touching each other, Pachas Mishloisha, if the Kaira comes within three tefachim of the other side, or if the two kairas come to within three tefachim of each other, you don't have to bring another kaira. If, however, they're three tefachim away from each other, then you have to bring another kaira. What's the reason? Because really the kaira has to go all the way, but at the same time there's something called lavud. So as long as you get to within three tefachim, everything's going to be okay. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, pachas me'arba. The number is not three tefachim, the number is four tefachim. Amazingly, this is the first time we're discussing Shitas Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel is of the opinion that lavud is not three tefachim. Love it is fourth tefachim. By the way, another machloikis in a halacha l'mayishim Sinai. Love is a halacha l'mayishim Sinai, and there's a machloikis Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim whether love it is gimel tefachim or love it is dalet tefachim. But the point is, it says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the number is not three; it's four. Meaning pachas me'arba. If it's less than four, in tzarich lavi kara cheres, you have to bring another kara. Arba. If it's four tefachim, tzarich lavi kara cheres, then you would have to bring another kara. V'chein shtei kares hamatimus. The same would be true if you have two kares that are like twins. They're right next to each other. Lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach, v'lo bezu kedei lekabel ariach. Each one is not wide enough to hold on it a half a brick. Why are we talking about a half a brick? Because that's the shear of how wide a koira has to be. A brick in the times of Chazal, which was known as a levena, was 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, which means a half a brick will be 1.5 tefachim by 3 tefachim, right? Depending on which way you cut it, one side will maintain the 3 tefach, and the other one will be half of that, it will be 1.5. So the shear of a koira is 1 tefach, because the assumption is that if you wanted to take something that's a tefach and a half wide and have a beam be able to hold it, the minimum shear that beam would have to be is a tefach. As long as it's a tefach, a little bit would be hanging on the side, and that's the way you would make it work. So the same, says the Braisa, would be if you have 2 koiras that are next to each other, each one is not a tefach wide, meaning each one is not wide enough kidei lekabel ariach. Says the halach, im kabel ariach l'rach moi tefach, if the two of them together make up a tefach, and they can therefore carry this half a brick, the halacha is it's okay. Ain't tzarich levi koira acheres v'im lav. And if it's not, meaning if the two together don't make up a tefach, tzarich levi koira acheres, it's not going to be okay. Rishim Gamliel leimer. Rishim Gamliel said if you have 2 koiras together, it works a little differently. Im mikablis hariach lo orkei shloish tefachim, ain't tzarich levi koira acheres. If they're able to hold the ariach along its length, which is 3 tefachim, then you wouldn't have to bring another koira. V'im lav tzarich levi koira acheres. That's all more negaya when you learn masech to seirvin. What we need, and this is really the last gemara of the daf, is this last part of the braisa. Hoya achas lemailo, the achas lemata. What would be, again, if you have 2 koiras? The 2 koiras, they go from one side of the wall to the other side of the wall. Together, they make up a tefach. It's fine. The problem is, one was lemailo and one was lemata. They weren't on the same level. The theme of the second part of the daf. One's a little bit higher than the other. Now, if you were able to merge them together, it'd be perfect. The problem is, it's achas lemalo, the achas lemata, not sheva. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda said, Royan el yoyna kilui lemata. We look at the one on top as if it's lemata. That's atachtoyna kilui lemalo. We look at the bottom as if it's lemailo, meaning you're able to make it work. You merge them together. Ubavad, the only thing you have to be sure is, you have to make sure that the one lemailo is not more than 20 amos off the ground. And the reason is because a koira that's more than 20 amos off the ground is possible, just like a sukkah shigavoy lemailo miyasr mam, the first gemara in the mesachta. Mavush, and you have to make sure the lower one is not less than 10 tefachim. Because just like a sukkah is not let it be less than 10 tefachim, a koira is also not let it be less than 10 tefachim. However, as long as the two half of these 2 koiras, each one is less than a tefach, are within 20 tefachim, amrina chavoy rami, the halach is you would say chavoy rami. In other words, you would merge the 2 koiras. Frek the Gemara. How are you merging the 2 koiras? A very long-winded question. How are you merging the 2 koiras? There's no tefach over here. Rava said that the only time you say the halach of chavoyt rami is if the thing that you're bringing down is a tefach wide. Over here, these 2 koiras are definitely not a tefach wide. How do we know that? Because if they were a tefach wide, we're not having this conversation. The reason we have a problem here is because each one is not a tefach wide. So we know for sure it's not a tefach wide. And afal pikein, there's a halach of chavoyt rami. You see, you're allowed to bring one up or the other one down, and you're able to make the whole thing work. So, freak the Gemara that if Rav is gerech, that the only time you say chavoy rami is if it's a tefach wide, how do you understand shitas Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Masech Tzeirvin? So the Gemara says, Amaleis, he told him, Teretz ve'ei mahachi. I think you can make it work. As long as we tweak the language a little bit of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, it's possible to reconcile them. That is, that when Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda said, ubulvad, that you need that they should both be within 20 amis off the ground, what he meant to say was like this. You have to make sure the one on top is more than not more than 20 amis off. It's within 20. And the one that's on bottom, you also have to make sure it's within 3 tefachim of the one on top. You have to make sure the one on the bottom is not less than 10 tefachim off the ground. It's at least 10 tefachim off. The Elyoina Smuchala, and the one on top is close to it. How close? The Pachas Mishloish, within 3 tefachim. Aval Shloish, but if it's 3 tefachim, give me the last Bei Tefach. Layamrina Chavoy Rami, Yutaka wouldn't say Chavoy Rami. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, maybe Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda never meant Chavoy Rami. Because maybe you can't say Chavoy Rami. Because if it's not a Tefach wide, you can't say Chavoy Rami. What then did he mean? He meant lavud. And what he meant to say was that if you have two koiras, each one is a half a tefach, if they're within three tvachim of each other, and one is not more than 20 amas, and the other one's not less than 10 tvachim, so then you can bring them together through lavud. Ben enachinami. He never meant chavoyt rami, because Rav is gerech that the only time you could say chavoyt rami is if it's at least a tefach wide. So let's just recap this Gemara. And that is, the Mishnah said, a sukkah hamiduvleles is kosher. And the Gemara said, what does hamiduvleles even mean? Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav said, miduvleles is miloshen miduldeles, miloshen dal. It's a sukkah aniyah. It's a sukkah that checks off all the boxes, but at the end of the day, it is not so much schach. You would have thought it's possible, says the Mishnah Ksheira. Shmuel said, miduvleles is miloshon mivulbeles. It's miloshon bilbul. It's semisht. It's kana oila kana yore. Meaning, there's two layers of schach. Each layer of schach in of itself doesn't have enough schach in order to make it work. But if you can merge, you can make a bilbul, you can make a taruvas between the two layers, then you would be able to make it work. And the chiddush in the Mishnah is that even if it's not silosa meruba michamasa as is, royin, we make the two things and act as if they're together, and as long as if they would be together, it would be tzlasim ruba mechamasa, the halach is it's going to be okay. We had a machlokes Abaye v'Rav had to understand Shita Shmuel. So the machlokes Abaye v'Rav is not in Shita's Rav, it's strictly in Shita Shmuel. According to Shmuel, that you could pull off a Ryan, how does that work? Abaye said they have to be within three tvachim of each other. If they're within three tvachim of each other, then it works based on Lavud. Lavud makes it as if it's stum, as if the whole area is closed off. So even though really it's not closed off, but in Lumdis it is closed off, and being that in Lumdis it is closed off, it's for that reason that it's going to work. Rava said, even if it's more than three tefachim away, because the way sukkah miduvlelefs works, according to Shmuel, is not necessarily with, yeah, lavud is tavay olav bracha, that's great, but it works even without lavud, because there's another principle in the laws of mechitz and halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that's called chavoyt rami, and as obscure as it may sound, it works. And the halacha of chavoyt rami says that it can, you can take something, bring it as low as you need to, beyond three tefach. But there's one knech, said Rav. There is one asterisk next to the halacha of chavoyt rami, and that is that whatever it is that you're manipulating has to be at least a tefach wide. How do I know that, said Rav? I know it from a Mishnah in the 12th parak of Masechtas Aholis. The Gemara told the whole story with Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi, and they were all struggling to understand Rav Ashita in light of Ashita's Rav Yosi by Rav Yehuda in Erev and Daf Yudalid. But that was the majority of Amid Beis, where the Gemara addressed why that in and of itself is not a problem, exhale. So one ha'ara, as it relates to the sugyas and Masechta Sukkah, and really as promised, this is part two of the raid that we spoke about in the end of Daf Chaf, a raid bite that's titled Sukkas in the Midbar, and this is part two. So in Daf Chaf, Be'ezus Hashem, we said over a tremendous chiddush that traces itself back to a Litvisha Gadol, Sifsoisov Doivivois Bekever, Ramanachim Tzvi Taksin. He was the mechaber of many svarim. One of the svarim that he wrote was Ur Torah, and in the Sefer Ur Torah he said a tremendous chiddush. He said that he believes that the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, they never sat in Sukkos. They never took Dalad Minim. And he gave Taimoy V'Nimukoy why he thought that was the case. We mentioned that Rabbi Yisrael Veltz, the Gaivit of Budapest, he contributed to a Jewish journal, a Yarchon. The name of the Yarchon was Tel Talpiyos, and he wrote this shtickle that Rabbi Menachem Tzvi Taksin said, and it was Marashay Lomis. The yeshiva world was in an uproar. How could anybody possibly say, even if he had askomas from the Beis Halevi, and from Meir Simcha, and from Zalman Sender, and from the Ritvaz, and Kol Ga'inei Olam of that Kufa, but still, how do you say such a chiddush that for 40 years when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they never sat in a sukkah? Moshe Rabbeinu never sat in a sukkah. Moshe Rabbeinu never had a pre-Eitz Hadar. He never had a Chosh V'Rebbe V'Shehetzrik. It's too hard for us to be able to comprehend such a thing. Yisrael Veltz responded. He says, as it relates to the chiddush of Dalid Minim, it's already Mefurish in the Rambam. The Rambam and the Marei Nevuchim. We mentioned Rav Dovid Yoel Weiss's Diak in the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos. We then said over the Mabit in Shari Yesoides and Perek Lamed Zayin, a tshuva from Rav Waldenberg and Tzitz Eliezer. But the point was that there's a very, very strong tzad to say that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, as hard to fathom as it may be for some, they never sat in a sukkah and they never took Dalid Minim. But one thing is pasha. When the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have an Aniyah covered anymore. They didn't have Sukkos Mamish. It was Ba'as Pecham Yigarnecho Miyikvecha. At that point, it's Pashat. They started celebrating the Yontif of Sukkos. Stating that,
There are several psukim in Tanakh, and this is in Nehemiah Perikres, which really are from the most difficult psukim to understand Pashnim Pshat. So the context is the beginning of Bayis Sheni. The Yidden just rebuilt, or in the second Beis HaMikdash, Ezra and Nehemiah, they're all together in Eretz Yisrael, and the situation, the State of the Union, is not good. So Ezra calls a big asifa. He says, I want everybody to come to the town square. And he says, anyone that doesn't show, Yechrom kol rechush, like Chazal learned from there, Hefker bezden Hefker, Ezra had the authority to be able to take away all the rechush and all the possessions and all the money of the Yidden. But the point is that everyone's going to come, and there's going to be a massive daf mechazik sein shmuz. Everyone has to, because what's going on right now is not good. So picking up in the middle of this context, it was the second day. The second day of Tishrei, which is also the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Nesfu Roshei Aves L'Cholam Hakayhanev Aluvim El Ezra Seifer Ulahaskel Adivrei Atar. This is Nehemiah talking. He says on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, right? This is Beis Tishrei. Everybody comes together and they're in the town square, and they brought out a Sefer Torah. Vayimtzu Kosev BaTorah. And when they opened up the Sefer Torah, they found the following. It said Ashnetziva Hashem Biyad Moshe, that Hashem had commanded the Yidden through Moshe Rabbeinu, Asher Yeshvu Bnei Yisrael Basukos, that the Yidden should have a mitzvah to sit in a sukkah, Bechag, on Sukkos, Bechodesh HaShvi, in the seventh month. So they take out a Sefer Torah, Vayimtzu. There was a Metziah, Eilu Metziah Shaloi Ve'eilu Chayv Lahachris. It was Kemoitze Shalorov. They found this Metziah, they couldn't believe it. Wow, there's a Yontif. It's called Sukkos. And you know what you do in Sukkos? You have to sit in a sukkah. So what did they do? They made a ramkol, and all of a sudden you heard the noises going around Yerushalayim Lamer. So who are go to the mountains? And if this pasuk sounds familiar, it's because the Gemara quoted it on Daf Yud Beis as one of the sources to the halacha that Tzchach has to be a davar shegudulam in haaretz, and it has to be a davar she'enim mekabel tuma. Says the pasuk, vayetzu ha'am. So the am, the people, the folk did everything they were told to do. Vayaviyu, and they brought. Vayasu lehem sukkas, and they built sukkas. Ishal gaga, each person on his roof. Ubechatzer yiseyim, some people built in their chatzer. Ubechatzer yispeisu alekim, some built chatzeroys in the azara. Uberchoyv shar hamayim, and they also did it in the Rechoyv of Shara Mayim, Rechoyv Shara Ephraim, and the Rechoyv of Shara Ephraim. The Yasukol Akol Hashovim and Hashevi Sukkos. And everybody again, since Feitimot built Sukkos. Fayeshvu Basukkos. And they sat in Sukkos. Here's the punchline. Kiloy Asu Mime Yeshua Benun Kain Bnei Yisrael Adayemahu. They were Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sukkos, which is something they hadn't done, dating back to the times of Yeshua Benun. Vatehi Simcha Gedoyla. And there was a tremendous simcha. Vayikra b'sefer Torah alekim yoyim b'yoyim min yoyim arishon ad yoyim ha'achron. Vayasu chag shivas yomim u'bayoyim ha'shmini atzeres kamishman. And they even did shmini atzeres. So the pasuk says the Yidden come. This is the beginning of Bayis Sheni. They build sukkahs. They sit in sukkahs. Incidentally, the Aruch Lener says that he thinks from the fact that there's such an emphasis on the fact that they build sukkahs, this is a raya. The building a sukkah is a mitzvah. So it's part two for that rate bite also. That building a sukkah is a mitzvah, like the Avnei Nezer, not like the Minchas Aluza, and not like the Chalkas Yod. But either way, so they went ahead and they built sukkahs, and they built sukkahs, and they sat in sukkahs. But again, listen to these words. Ki loy osu, they hadn't sat in a sukkah, mimei Yeshua benun, ad hayoy mahu, vati simcha gedoy lama'oid. And when you read the sukkim, it sounds like the Yidden from the time they entered Eretz Yisrael until they built the first Beis HaMikdash. How many years was that? 440 years. And then the first Beis HaMikdash stood for how long? 410 years. That's 850 years. And then they were bubble for 70 years. That's 920 years. Close to 1,000 years they didn't sit in a sukkah. Now they sat in a sukkah. Ki lo yosu, they hadn't done this. Mimei Yeshua Benun Kenei Bnei Yisrael. Ad hayoy mahu. And the Gemara Masechtas Eruchin, Naflamid Beis Amid Beis, asks the Kasha, how do you even read this pasuk? How is it possible to say such a thing? Freit the Gemara, Efsher, is it possible that all these generations had passed and they never sat in a sukkah? But David v'loy asa sukkah? What, David HaMelech never built a sukkah? Ad shebo Ezra? So the Gemara says two pshatim, and both pshatim that the Gemara says have zero a connection to the Pashpshat and the Pasuk. I'll mention the second shot. The second shot the Gemara says is, that you know what it means?
The boy rachmi al yetsa davoy de zara u batle. You know what happened at that time? Yuma daf samach tes amar aleph. Sanhedrin daf ayin dalet. That's what happened. What happened was, is the Yidden then and there, the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla, that was that dar, they were mispalel, and they were mevatel the yetzahara v'avoy de zara. That's what they did. Now what does it have to do with sukkahs? As the Gemara, v'agin schus alayu kesukkah. Because being mevatel the yetzahara v'avoy de zara protected the Yidden, like a sukkah protects you from the sun. Says the Gemara, and now you can understand why we're talking about Yeshua ben Nun. V'hainu de kakapit kra ilavei di Yeshua, de b'chol duchta ksev Yeshua. Here it says Yeshua, and the reason is because there was a taina on every single leader of the Jewish people. Why they didn't do what Ezra did? Why didn't they do what Nehemiah did? Why weren't they mespalel? Why didn't they daven? Why weren't they mevatel the Yetzahar of Avodah Zarah? But you know what the pasuk means when it says v'yasu kol ha'kol ha'shavim min ha'shvi sukkos, v'yeshmu ba'sukkos. Kilo yasu mei Yeshua ben Nun kevin Yisrael ladu yemo. Doesn't mean they sat in the sukkah for the first time, dating back even Yeshua ben Nun's time. They didn't sit in sukkahs, it sounds like. That's not what it means. It means they were mispalel to mevatel Yetzahar of Avodah Zarah, and this was something they didn't do. Tracing back to Yeshua, even Yeshua ben Nun didn't sit in a sukkah. Even Yeshua ben Nun didn't do what it was that he was supposed to. Faith to Gemara, if you have tainas on Yeshua ben Nun and every leader after, how come we don't have tainas on Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Gemara says something fascinating. This is a whole schmooze for another day. The Gemara says there was no taina on Moshe Rabbeinu why he wasn't mevatel Yetzar v'Avodah Zarah, because Moshe couldn't have done it. Moshe Rabbeinu, how's that possible? Moshe couldn't have done it because he didn't have schus to Eretz Yisrael. And because he didn't have schus to Eretz Yisrael, that's why he couldn't have done it. It's interesting. Rav Tzadik HaKoyin says that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel in last week's parasha 515 tefillos v'aschanan al Hashem, and his tefillah wasn't answered. And we mentioned from Rav Tzadik that Rav Tzadik says that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah wasn't answered because Moshe was a tzad gomer, and a tzad gomer is limited in his capacity of tefillah. But had Moshe Rabbeinu been about tshuva, his tefillah would have been answered, because b'makom shebali tshuva. And others, Rav Tzadik's struggling to understand how it's possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel 515 tefillos, his tefillahs weren't answered. But you see, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have such a koyach tefillah. He didn't have Chusad Eretz Yisrael. It's mashman Moshe Rabbeinu been in Eretz Yisrael, then his tefillahs, whatever they would have been, would have answered. And Enochinami, once you're in Eretz Yisrael, you could be mespalel that Yetzahara v'Avodah Zarah should be built. But there was a taina on every single leader tracing itself back to Yeshua ben Nun. In other words, the Gemara in Eruchin, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, says that this pasuk, which seems to suggest that the Yidden didn't sit in sukkahs for all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, should not be taken literally. Stating that, if you take a look at the Mefarshim in the on your Tanakh, Alatar, the Metzudas David, and the Ralbag, and the Malbim, they all try to say Sumpshat. And the reason there's a hergish amongst the Mefarshim, that even though Chazal darshened what they darshened, but at the same time, a mikra yoytze midei pshuta is, number one, a mikra yoytze midei pshuta is a klal. And number two, we darshen things from these psukim. The Gemara learns from the psukim of Tzu, Ahar, Ve'viu, Ali Zayas, Vali Eitshem, Vali Hadas, Vali Tmarim, halachas and ilchasukah. We learn from here halach, no, psoilas garim v'yoykim. So we learn real halachas from here. So if we learn real halachas from here, so there must be some pshat in terms of what this means, that they didn't celebrate the Yontif of Sukkot in a way that they hadn't done all the way back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So just to say over two pshatim that I saw, and both from the Heilige Chassam Sofer, they're both in Drushes Chassam Sofer, both of them are Drushes on Sukkot. One is Drush Yud Aleph, the other one is Drush Chaf Hei. They're both very short. In Drush Yud Aleph, the Chassam Sofer says, what does this pasuk mean? I mean, what are we talking about when we say the Yidden didn't sin in Sukkot, going all the way back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun? So he says a davar nifla. He says the Gemara says that in order for schach to be kosher, it has to check off two boxes, two criteria. Number one, it has to be davar shegedulim in aretz. Number two, it has to be a davar that's not mekabel tumah. And the Gemara says, how do you know that? And the Gemara had different pshatim. But the main pshat that we know is it says in the Torah, chag ha-sukas tasalecha ba'aspecha mi garnecha u mi yikvecha. And the Gemara darshins mi garnecha u mi yikvecha means from the psoilus of the Goyren and from the psoilus of the Yaakov. Says the Chassam Sofer that the truth is another remez over here in this pasuk of ba'aspecha mi garnecha u mi yikvecha. There's almost a mefurish remez to this idea that schach kosher has to come from Psoilus, Goyren, and Yaakov. Again, what's the question? It says Garnecho and Yikvecho. The Goyren and the Yaakov themselves are Mekabel Tomo. But we darshan Mi Garnecho, Mi Yikvecho, as if to mean Mi Psoilus. psoilus Goyrin v'Yakov. So the question is, mehecha teisa from the psoilus of the Goyrin and the Yaakov. And that's what the Gemara struggled with on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So it says the Chasam Sofer, it's actually merumis. Because if you take the word aspecha and the word psoilus, it's actually the same word with same word if you use at bash. So aspecha is aleph samach pei and the chaf. Psoilus is pei samach lamid saf. So the pei and the samach that you have in aspecha, you have in psoilus. It's the same exact two letters. However, the aleph in at bash, switching the aleph with a tav and the base with a shin, etc., switches with a tav, and the chav switches with a lamed. So if you use at bash, so aspecha becomes psoilus. So it says the Chasam Sofer that the truth is, Chazal struggled to understand ba'aspecha, migarnecho miyekvecho. Where do you see? It's from the psoilus. It says migarnecho miyekvecho. It has nothing to do with the psoilus, but in at bash, aspecha is psoilus, and therefore using atbash, you can find the remes. So the Chasam Sofer said something classic. He said, the Gemara says, in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Zok the Gemara, Amri Le Rabbanu Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. The Rabbanu told Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Asu Dardiki Ha'idna Lebe Midrasha. Two children just entered the base medrash. The Amru Mili, and they said things, Dafilu Bimei Yeshua Benun La Yitmar. Things that even in the times of Yeshua Benun, nobody said. And the Gemara says, what did they say? They started darshaning the Aleph Base. Aleph Beis is Aleph Bino, Kimel Dalet is Gmol Dalin, and then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that they darshin Atbash, that these two Dardiki came, and they said that there's something called Atbash, an Aleph can switch with a Tuf, and a Beis can switch with a Shin, and a Gimel can switch with a Reish, and a Dalet can switch with a Kuf, and they went and they darshin the Atbash, but says the Chasam Sofer, you see from here, that in the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, they didn't know Atbash. This was something they didn't have back then. So when did we finally get back to Atbash? So he says, Kenira, that's also a Gemara. There's a Gemara Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Iku Bar Avin, Omer Rav Chananel, Omer Rav. May Dechsev, what's Pshat in the Pasuk? In the Chemya Perek Ches, that's our Perek. Vayikru Basefer, B'toyras O Elokim, Mefayrish, V'som Seichel, Vayavinu B'mikro. Says the Gemara, Vayikru Basefer, Toyras Elokim, Zay Mikro, they knew Mikro, Klar. Mefayrish, Zay Targum. V'som Seichel, Elu Apsukim. Vayavinu B'mikro, Elu Piskei Taimim. V'amri L'som, Say Elu HaMesoyris. They knew how to extract everything that they can possibly need to extract from the Toyras of Exam. In the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, they didn't know. They didn't know Atbash. In the times of Ezra, based on this pasuk in Nehemiah Perek Ches, they already knew the Atbash. So says the Chasam Sofer. That's Pashit, that in the times of Yeshua Ben Nun, they sat in Sukkot. And they sat in Sukkot from Yeshua Ben Nun, the 920 years leading up to Bayis Sheni, when the Yidden finally came back. There's no question in the world that they did. But you know what they didn't know? When they sat in the Sukkot, and they used Schach, and they used Psoilus Goyrin v'Yakov, they were basing it strictly on Torah Shabbat Peh. It says, Ba'aspecha mi garnecha mi yukvecha, and garnecha mi yukvecha, even though it sounds like the actual Tfu and the actual Yakov, which would mean it could be a Dabar Makabal Tuma, they went with a Messiah of Torah Shabbat Peh, that it's mi garnecha mi yukvecha, that really it's only the Psoilus of the Goyrin, even though it's not Mefurish anywhere. However, now in the times of Ezra, when they knew how to darshin, vayikru b'sefer Torah Salikim, and they knew everything. They knew Mefayrish, they knew Soim Seichel, Vayavinu, Bemikro. Now they knew Atbash. Now they knew Atbash. And now they knew it from the Pasuk. And that's what was Neschadish. So says the Chasam Sofer, read the Pasuk. Vayish Yashmiu Vaviru Kol B'chol Arayim B'Yerushalayim Lemer. Suahar, Veviu Alei Zayis, Vali Shemen, Vali Hadas, Vali Tmar, and Vali Eitz Ovis, Lasoi Sukkos, Kakosov. And he says, that was the Chiddush. The Chiddush was, now it's Kakosov. Because till now it was all Torah Shabbat Peh. But this is Ezra. It's the same Perek and Nach. It's the same Nehemiah Perek Ches. We're now all of a sudden, they know how to extract it from the Pasuk. It's the, they know, Atbash, oh Atbash, now they can celebrate Sukkot Kakosov. This is what the Chasam Sofer said in a drasha in Drush Yud Aleph. In Drush Chaf Hei, the Chasam Sofer said another Dover Nifla. And he said something which is really a Chiddush in light of the Sukkot that we're learning. We know that for a Sukkot to be kosher, it has to have how many walls? Three walls. Now it doesn't only have to have three walls. Shtayim kil chasan, v'shlishas afilu tefach. The third wall, if you want, it can even be a tefach. It doesn't even have to be a full third wall. If you want, that third wall can be even a tefach. Says the Chasam Sofer, a chiddush lahalacha. I once heard that Rabbi Yashiv wrote somewhere that whatever the Chasam Sofer says, no matter where he says it, halacha kemoisa, even in the drushes. So this is a chiddush from the Chasam Sofer in the drushes Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer says a chiddush. He says that even though a sukkah could have three walls, but there's an inyan of nois sukkah, obviously, and nois sukkah is the sukkah should have four walls. There's an inyan of nois sukkah that a sukkah should have four walls. This has a sheiches to Rei that we spoke about in the first parak for Rabbi Yeshua Abba, etc., etc. But there's an ideal katchila for sure for a sukkah to have four walls, and the Chasam Sofer says it's based on nois sukkah. So he says, I think it's pashit, that from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, they were always sitting in sukkahs. Not only were they sitting in sukkahs, they were sitting in sukkahs that have four walls. Because even though a sukkah is kosher, shtayim kilchasim v'shlishis afilu tefach, yeah, but the evidence it's kosher. But the katchila, you want to have a mehudah dega sukkah, a noy sukkah. And the zek keli vanveyu of sukkah, like the Avnei Nezer said, the ikur zek keli vanveyu is on sukkah because v'avni le mikdasha, it's a mikdash, it's not a bias, it's a bias for the Eibishter. So it's pashit, there's a bazundar inyan of noy sukkahs. Of course they sat in a sukkah, not with three walls, they sat in a sukkah of four walls. But if you know a little Jewish history, you know what was going on in the beginning of Bayis Sheni? There was a group of Yidden that was starting to cause a lot of trouble. This group would continue to give the Yidden tzaris for hundreds of years. They would come and really return in different shapes and sizes, under different guises and in different names. They were known as the Kutim. The Kutim were a group of Yidden, and they believed in the Torah Shebik Sav, but they didn't believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh. And the beginning of Bayis Sheni, if you learn, say, for Ezra, Yumadav Samech Tes, they were the ones that tried getting Alexander the Great to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Eventually, their Beis HaMikdash, which was on Har Gerizim, their temple ended up being destroyed. It was a big yontif, Yom Har Gerizim. But they started giving the Yidden a lot of tzaris. This is Jewish history 101. Eventually, they would become the Tzedukim, and eventually, they would become the Karaim in the times of the Rishonim, in the times of the Evan Ezra and the Rambam. But these were people that believed in Torah Shabbat Peh. They didn't believe in the Torah Shabbat Peh. They gave the Yidden a lot of tzaris. We also know that Chazal was so worried about the Shittos and the Ashkafis that Lohoitzei Meliban Shal Tzadokim, they used to do so many different halachas. So the Chasam Sofer says a davar nifla. He says, you know what I think? I think the Yidden, throughout the generations, for 1,000 years, sat in sukkahs with four walls. But in that door, Lohoitzei Meliban Shal Tzadokim, they said, we're going to sit in a sukkah that has two walls, and the third wall's only going to be a tefach. Why would you do that? He says, because that's pasha that Tzedukim didn't believe in a sukkah like that. If you would have asked the Tzedukim, can you sit in such a wall? He said, what are you basing it on? What do you mean? Sukkah davavam ibeis. Yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesiris. He looked at you like you're crazy. What do you mean, yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesiris? All they believed was in the Torah Shabbat. Echabar halach lemoshim yisinai, shlishis afilu tefach. What do you mean? Basukkah stage for Shabbat Yomim. You have to sit in a mahudah dega sukkah. It has to be a beautiful sukkah. So says the Chasam Sofer, my hergish is, they purposely didn't sit in such a sukkah. Now you're going to say, you're going to go b'dievin on a sukkah. Chasam Sofer says, you know what exhibit A is? Yesterday's daf. The Kohen HaSoref HaSapar, they used to be metamehim. They made him a tful yoim. You could sit in a sukkah that has three walls. That's the minimum shir. So says the Chasam Sofer, Kedarka, in the same vein as he said Pshat and Drush Yer Aleph. He says, Avada, there's no question in the world that the Yidden sat in sukkahs dating back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun. But in this door, Fayimtsum, Kasabis Tayro, there was a mitzvah of sukkahs, Vashi Yashmi of Evir, Kabachal Rem, Yushalayim Lemer, Tsuah Harv of Yali Zayas, Fali Shem, Fali Hadas, Fali Tmar, Fali Ezavis, Lasso, Sukkah, is chaser. Look at the word kakasov. They davke made a sukkah chaser. Chaser kakasov. And they davke made it that way. They did it with three walls. Why in this dar all of a sudden would we do it in three walls? Because till now we did it with four walls. Because of that keli mandeo, that's the right way to build a sukkah. But now they did it with three walls. Lahoitzi. Miliban shal tzadokim. But there's one diik that's so glaring, I think, in this pasuk. It jumps off the page. Why are we talking about sukkah dating back to Yeshua ben Nun? Vayasu kol hakol hashavim en hashvi sukkos. Vayeshmu basukkos ki lo yasu mimei Yeshua ben Nun. Any pshat you're going to tell me? L'chayr, why are you talking about Yeshua ben Nun? L'chura, we should be talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Teretz is Rav Menachem Tzvi Taksen. The Teretz is the Chida. The Teretz is the Rambam and the Moira. The Teretz is Rav W. Weiss's Diak and the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos. Because it certainly feels like that when the Yidden were in the Midbar, they didn't sit in Sukkis. The ganze Geschäft is, we're comparing and contrasting something that went on in the times of Yeshua Ben Nun and something that went on in the beginning of Baya Sheni. And maybe, maybe, this not such subtle Diak in a Pasuk, I mean, this is literally a Pasuk in the 8th Perek of Sefer Nehemiah. It's clear that we're talking about Sukkis ki layosu mimei Yeshua ben Nun. Sounds like it has something to do with Yeshua ben Nun, and maybe this is a raya to all the raid that we spoke about, all that raid that we spoke about. But just to end with one final hergish, and that is, it sounds like from the Psukim that in the beginning of Bayesheni, the Yidden went and they built Sukkis, and this was a Sukkis to remember. I mean, this was a Sukkis that was mamish once in a lifetime. And the whole Pasuk, there was something very, very special about the Sukkis. And there's so many Pshatim, we just mentioned two from the Chassam Sofer, the Malbim says Dvarim Nifla, Mayin Shom. Right, everyone has a different Hergish and a different Pshat. But maybe, maybe you could say another pshat. And that is, we mentioned on Daf Beis, why do we sit in a sukkah? Rabbi Eliezer said, Zecher la'anani ha'kavod. But the Torah asks the kashya, if the reason we sit in a sukkah is Zecher la'anani ha'kavod, then l'chayra, we should celebrate the yontif of sukkahs on Tesvav Nisan, when we celebrate all the yontifs, all the things that we do, Zecher l'yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do we wait until Tesvav Tishrei? So the Torah said a pshat, but then we said over from the Vilna Gaon that you have to know the rest of the story. The Yidden got anani ha'kavod when they left Mitzrayim, but after the Chet Egel, they lost anani ha'kavod. And then they got anani ha'kavod back when they started building the Mishkan. When did they start building the Mishkan? It was on Tesvav Tishrei. That was the Vilna Gaon's Cheshbon, the Vilna Gaon's Nevius. So he said if they started building the Mishkan Tesvav Tishrei, that's when we got the anani ha'kavod in Sfeit Demol. That's when we celebrate the Yontif. But we said, okay, but still, so it could have been Tesvav Nisan, it could have been Tesvav Tishrei. Why did we pick Tesvav Tishrei? So we said for Rav David Kohen and all the Mefarshei Hagra that they say, because the tiefkeit of the Vilna Gaon is when we celebrate the Yontif of Sukkot, we're not just remembering the Anani HaKavod. We're remembering the fact that even though we lost the Anani HaKavod, we got the Anani HaKavod back. And that's the punchline of Sukkot. The punchline of Sukkot is not, wow, Hashem gave us Anani HaKavod, like the Chidah asks. For that, we can have a Yontif for the Man. We can have a Yontif for the Be'er. The Yontif is that we had Anani HaKavod. We dropped the ball because of our Averis, because of the Chet of the ego, and Afal Pekin, the Eibishter gave it back to us. And the fact that Hashem was willing to give it back to us, that's what the Yontif of Sukkot is. And we said over from the Sidur Agrah, from the Siach Yitzchak, Atu B'chartonu B'kol Amim, it's referring to Pesach. Ahavto Yisonu Eshvuas, V'rotziso Banu Esukkot. And that's what Sukkot is. Sukkot in a nutshell is the V'rotziso Banu, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, on Yom Kippur, the Yidden got Slicha Mechila. But when did we get the V'rotziso Banu? When did we know that we were Mirutza again by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was the Yontif of Sukkot. So what is Sukkot all about? Sukkot is the Yontif of Viratzisa Banu. The Yidden had a Beis HaMikdash. It stood for 410 years. Prior to that, they had a Mishkan, which stood for close to 400 years. And then they lost the Beis HaMikdash. And the Yidden went to Galus for 70 years. And who knew if the Yidden would ever get a Beis HaMikdash again? But then they came back to Eretz Yisrael. And you know what they got? They got Baya Sheni. And you know what they realized? They realized that even though they had done Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos Shfichas Damim, even though the Yidden had been sent into Galus, even though they lost Nevuah, they lost so much. But at the same time, V'rotzi Sabano, the Anani HaKavod came back. The Beis HaMikdash came back. So you know what the Yidden did that year? When it came Sukkis, there was Azaz Sukkis, it was Vatihi Simcha Gedoyla Ma'oid. This was like the first Sukkis that the Yidden maybe never celebrated in the Midbar. This was a Sukkis that literally mirrored what the Yontif of Sukkis was. This was a Sukkis of where they got the Anani HaKavod back, where they got the second Beis HaMikdash again, where they felt the Viratzisa Banu. And this was the Sukkis that they were able to celebrate that they couldn't even celebrate in the times of Yeshua Benon, because in the times of Yeshua Benon it was all Azaz Eicher. But now it was real. Now they felt it. And because they felt it, it was so real, it was so mamoshes thing, that's why this Sukkot was a different Sukkot. Maybe just to one mashal, the Mahadava Daima, when we learned Masechtas Pesachim, we spoke at an epic, epic piece for a Meir Simcha, classic, Ben Benoishal classic, in Parshas Baloischa, where Meir Simcha says that if you learn Nach, there's two places in Nach where the Yidden celebrate the Yontif of Pesach in a way that they had never celebrated the Yontif of Pesach. One was in the times of Chizkiyo, and the other one was in the times of Yeshayahu, Chizkiyahu, after he destroyed all the Avodah Zarah of his father Achaz, he made a sukkah, a Pesach, and it was not 7 days, it was longer, and it was a ganze yontif, and Yeshayahu did the same thing. Yeshayahu also made a Pesach. In fact, the pasuk says regarding the Pesach of Yeshayahu, ki lo inasek a Pesach hazeh. Tell me if this pasuk sounds familiar. Mimei ha-shoiftim. Dating back to the times of the shoiftim, there had never been such a Pesach. What was so why? Why Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu? So Mei Simcha said, because what was Pesach all about? What was the first Pesach? What was the original Pesach? The original Pesach was Mishchu yetchem me'avodah zarah u'kichu lechem tzayishal mitzvah. The sheep was the avodah zarah of the Egyptians. So because, and the idea of the carbon Pesach was slaughter the avodah zarah. Mishchu yetchem me'avodah zarah u'kichu lechem tzayishal mitzvah. So Mei Simcha said, these were two tkufis in Jewish history with the Yidu and Mishchu yetchem me'avodah zarah. So how do you celebrate Mishchu yetchem me'avodah zarah? With the carbon Pesach. And that's why kiloi nasek Pesach hazeh Yemei Hashoif, the Melachim Beis, Perich of Gimel, Pasach of Beis. That's where it is. It's Kilay Nasek HaPesach HaZem Yemei Hashoif. Mei Simcha says, the Yidim were in the middle for 40 years. How many carbon Pesachs did they bring? One. One. Lahagi Gnusin Shal Yisrael, the Yidim only brought one carbon Pesach. He says, why? He says, because the one carbon Pesach the Yidim brought was right after the Chet Ego. Because the Chet Ego was Avodah Zarah. Mishchu Yetchem Avodah Zarah U'kchu Lechem Tzayin Shal Mitzvah. So maybe just like Rameh Simcha said, now what was the carbon Pesach? Because in its core, in its essence, it's Mishchu Yetchem Avodah Zarah U'kchu Lechem Tzayin Shal Mitzvah. That's why when the Yidden in real life was Zaycha to a Mishchu Yetchem Avodah Zarah U'kchu Lechem Tzayin Shal Mitzvah, when the Yidden were living that in real time, what did that bring? What did that beget? What did that result in? That resulted in a different carbon Pesach. It's in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, when the Yidden, in real time, in real life, they experience what the origin, what the essence, what the Shoyrish of the Yontif of Sukkos is. It's Zeichel Anani HaKovet. It's not just the fact that they had Anani HaKovet. If that's what it was, it would have been another thing you talk about at the Seder. Maybe the Seder would have been in a Sukkah. That's not what it is. It's the fact that we got lost, had Anani HaKovet. We lost it because of our own Averis, but at the same time, V'rotzi Sabanu, the Eibishter was willing to give it back to us. And that's why, just like Rameh Simcha said, in the times of Yeshayahu, Kiloi Nasek Pesach HaZem Yimei HaShoiftim, so too, in the times of Ezra, the times of Nehemiah, it's almost the same lashon. They had never done such a sukkah because it was never necessary to have such a sukkah. You know, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel, the La'asad Lavoi, the Goyim are going to come to the Abish and say, give us one more chance, right? We want one more chance, they're going to want. And Hashem says, all right, I have one mitzvah. The Yidden are in the middle of celebrating this mitzvah. Go see if you could do it together with them. And the mitzvah is going to be a mitzvah of sukkah, and Hashem is going to make it very hot, and they're going to be boiled in the sukkah. They're going to all be running in the sukkah. What's the yontif? What's the mitzvah the Yidden are going to be doing, La'asad Lavoi? This is a glimpse into the future. What's the mitzvah the Yidden are going to be doing? What are we going to be doing, La'asad Lavoi? We're going to be sitting in sukkahs again. Because La'asad Lavoi, when we're going to get the Anani HaKovet again, and again we'll be zoichet to experience the Virotzi Sabanu, we're going to be sitting in a sukkah again, and then we'll be sitting in a sukkah and we'll celebrate the Yontif of Sukkahs in a way that they hadn't celebrated all the way back to the times of Ezra and to the times of Nehemiah, because we'll be zoichet again to see in real time, we'll be able to feel the Virotzi Sabanu. The essence of Sukkahs is the Virotzi Sabanu, and in that door, Bayis Sheni was the one time in history where the Yidden could say, after the Anani HaKovet came back, that we feel the Virotzi Sabanu. What was the react? What came from that? What was the manifestation? A Yontif of Sukkos, a Yontif of Sukkos like the Yidden had never celebrated before.